This is part 3 of 3.
The crew of the Anna Marie knew that soon fishing would be allowed farther north in Bristol Bay and among the Aleutian Islands. The captain announced, "Tomorrow we will head for Dillingham to take on more supplies. It's about 3 days away from here." He added later, "Then, Don and Scott, you'd better find someone ashore to take the cat, because he has to leave the boat." The two young crewmen were very sad, but they had to obey the captain. That night, the boat anchored in a small bay, only partially protected from wind and waves. Ashore rose a high mountain range with snow covering the tops of the peaks. Heavy forests carpeted the sides of the mountains. From the deck, Marco caught the strange smell of wild animals moving in the forest. After dinner, the sailors went to bed early, tired from the day's fishing. Assistant skiffman Marco slept, as usual, on the foot of Don's bed. Chapter 7. About midnight, when everyone was sound asleep, Marco awoke suddenly. He sensed that something was wrong. The boat was rocking back and forth and swinging around, not at all like it usually behaved at an overnight anchorage. Marco got up, turned around and around on the bunk, and snuggled back into a ball of fur, but the boat rocked harder, and Marco could not get back to sleep. Finally, he jumped off the bunk and slipped through the half-open hatch onto the deck. White-tipped waves foamed toward the ship, splashing against the side so hard that Marco was wet down thoroughly. The boat was no longer safely in the middle of the small cove, and the anchor hung loosely from the winch. What was wrong? The forest seemed much closer than it was earlier, and a high rock was very near, jagged gray in the half-light. Marco was only a cat, but he knew something was terribly wrong. Animals often know such things instinctively, but, of course, cannot identify the problem. Marco jumped back into the forecastle and leaped on top of sleeping Don. Don squirmed and threw out his arm, muttering angrily, "Get out of here!" Marco persisted, rubbed back and forth against Don's head, meowing loudly. Don grew more and more angry, but finally sat up, saying bad things to Marco. As soon as Don became truly awake, though, he realized that the boat was rocking violently and the roar of the ocean was unnaturally loud. Jumping out of bed, he roused the other crewmen. "Hey, get up, you guys! Something's wrong!" He pulled on his blue jeans and a warm sweater. Out on deck, he saw the problem. "Good grief! Look at that ocean!" he yelled. "Our anchor's come loose! We're about to crash on some rocks!" The captain appeared half-dressed, his hair sticking out in all directions. "Everybody on deck!" he cried. "Scott, start the engine! Don, pull in that loose anchor! Randy, help him!" The wind was blowing very hard, causing the big boat to move around wildly. The anchor was dragging through the sandy floor of the cove. Waves rose up so high that it looked as if they would come right into the boat, but each time the wave broke from its crest and surged underneath. The wind blowing through the cables from the boom and navigation mast screamed like a person crying. White streaks of foam streamed toward shore, gleaming in the moonlight. The engine coughed and sputtered, then settled into a steady roar. "Thank goodness the engine didn't choose this moment to act up!" shouted Scott. Don struggled in the wind in the useless anchor, which was snagging on the bottom of the cove. The captain moved the boat forward along the chain to ease the pressure, heaving and tugging to help the power winch. The sailors were able to raise it. Just when it seemed the boat would surely smash against the dark rocks where waves broke in horrifying splashes, the boat was able to move away safely. "We can't stay here!" yelled the captain to the crew. "The wind has changed directions. We'll have to make for Shelter Bay. Tie everything down, especially the skiff!" The crewmen struggled to the skiff, lashing it firmly to the deck with extra lines. They didn't know that Marco was inside it. Again, he had jumped into the skiff to escape the waves. Dripping wet, Don came into the skipper's pilot house. "Where'd this storm come from? Radio weather didn't mention anything about such winds last night." The skipper replied, "I don't know, but freak winds come up around here. This is one of the roughest bodies of water in the world." He headed straight out into the open sea, where the waves danced whitely as far as one could see. The sturdy purse seiner rose high up and then plunged bow first into the icy waves, throwing spray clear over the boat. Inside the skiff, Marco huddled in the bow, holding on tightly with his sharp claws to keep from being washed away. He was so frightened that he couldn't make a dash for safety to the pilot house. And a good thing he didn't try, for the waves would have washed him overboard. Chapter 8. After an hour of battling the waves, the captain steered the boat behind a point of land that ran parallel to a beach. Here was a protected bay, shielded from the ocean's fury. Other fishing boats had taken refuge there. One had a broken mast, and another was leaning way over as if water had leaked in. The Anna Marie was still in good shape. The crewmen anchored her close into the lee shore of the point, where waves could not reach them. They put out a strong storm anchor when everything got quiet once again, except for the distant roar of the ocean outside. Dawn remembered Marco. The cat! Where's the cat? I haven't seen him since he woke me up. Good grief! You don't suppose he got washed away? I sure hope not, said Scott. He doesn't deserve that fate. The two men looked all over the boat, in the galley, in the bunks, among the boxes, in the captain's cabin. Marco was nowhere to be seen. When they could not find Marco, they were sure that he had been swept away by the bad storm. Don and Scott, and the captain, too, went to bed very sadly.
You know, boys, said the captain, I always hated cats, but that Manx, well, he was a little different. In fact, he was kind of funny, the way he tried to play with the moving instruments on my panel. And he's the one who saved the boat, you know. If he hadn't wakened Don, who knows? We might be at the bottom of that cove by now.
None of them slept very well that night. The morning dawned bright and sunny, the storm having blown itself out, but the Anna Marie's crew was gloomy. The ocean was calm as a floor beyond the protecting point. The nearby fishing boat, half sunk, was being bailed out by the crew. On the other, a sailor was on top of the pilot house, splicing a repair to the mast. The cook started breakfast, and soon delicious smells of bacon and coffee came from his small galley. Don and Scott couldn't seem to get hungry, thinking about the loss of Marco. Nursing his mug of coffee, Don walked past the skiff, which was still lashed down extra well. He looked at the amount of water thrown into the skiff by the waves. Then he heard, or did he hear? Yes, he thought he heard a plaintive meow, meow. From the covered bow appeared Marco, soaking wet, his fur plastered against his small body. He was shivering, both from cold and fright. Don grabbed him and hugged him close, placing the cold, wet cat under his jacket to warm him. "Here's the cat!" he cried. "Hey, guys, he's alive! He was hiding in the skiff!" The crewmen gathered around Marco and made a big fuss over him. The cook warmed some milk and placed it on the floor for the cat. When the captain thought no one was looking, he reached down and gave Marco a bit of his bacon and scrambled eggs. Later, when the boat was underway for Dillingham, Don said, "Well, we won't have the Manx much longer, since the captain said we have to put him ashore." "Well," declared Scott, "at least we can make sure that someone kind adopts him so he won't starve and be cold." "Sure wish we could keep him, though," said Don soberly. All dried out and reassured by the calmer weather and petting from his buddies, Marco once more walked around the deck as if he were the assistant skiffman. His fur was all shiny and orange like a flame. When he jumped up on the chart table to groom himself, the tough captain reached over to pet him. Marco purred and arched his back, then settled down to watch the ocean go by. The boat came into Dillingham and tied up beside a large processing ship. Glad to be going ashore again, the crew climbed across the bigger ship to stand unsteadily on the dock. Soon they would be busy loading up supplies for the next fishing trip, but for a few hours they could do as they pleased, shop, eat good restaurant food, or get an ice cream cone. The captain said nothing as Don and Scott started ashore with Marco. He seemed to be thinking very hard. Suddenly he called out in his toughest, gruff voice,
"Come back! You don't need to take the Manx with you. He can stay on the boat. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a purse seiner and a nice fat check for the fish we caught. I guess he's earned a spot as a crew member."
Don, Scott, and the other crewmen grinned at each other happily. The captain managed a smile for a moment, too, and then said,
"Get out of here. Go on shore. We haven't got all day."
When the Anna Marie left Dillingham, Marco sat in his favorite spot, the captain's pilot house, supervising the operation of the boat and watching the instruments carefully. After all, Marco the Manx was a crew member now, the official mascot of the Anna Marie. The end.